From the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And again, please, everybody. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen. Jesus Christ is Lord. May we truly realize that where he said at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. You can have no other.
Amen.
You know, he obligates himself to be our God when he says that. In fact, if you search the scriptures, you won't find anything else that takes precedent over that. He said, I am the Lord your God.
Yes.
We human beings, we've searched out all kind of gods. Wealth and power and prestige, fame, idols, pleasure, and all of that's idolatry.
Amen.
Why don't we just stop and realize he has said, I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Amen. Don't take any other name.
That's true.
I am your God.
Amen.
Folks, I think that's the reason that I've been so impressed to get the children to learn the Ten Commandments so that we adults will know them.
Amen.
They're important to us.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. You may be seated. And I welcome your mom today. She's very fortunate. She waits till her son-in-law goes out of town to show up. That's just great. If I was you, I'd do the same. I got a bone to pick with him. He called me at 6:14 this morning to tell me he was headed to church. Just like I didn't know he was going to go to church at Brother Shelley's this morning. But he wanted me to know where he was. And he's 3 hours ahead of me. That boy needs to learn that Brother Green's still asleep at 6:15 on Sunday morning. But he got me up anyway, so you tell him if you talk to him today and he's in Dutch. Big trouble. He knows it already. Well, happy Mother's Day to all you moms today. I thought of my mother this morning, and we all have one. And God bless all of you that are here today and you have had the honor of giving birth to some of us and all of us. But I think it really should be a special day in all of you's lives. And at one time or another, our government felt like it was something worthy of being remembered. I don't know whether there'll be a proclamation written about it today or not by the president, but anyway, to all of you mothers today, happy Mother's Day to you. And may God bless you. We have someone to be baptized this morning in Christian baptism. Clara Coffey, Chris and Lori's oldest daughter that calls me Grandpa, told her dad the other day when I was speaking and Brother John spoke, she leaned over and whispered to her dad, I want to be baptized next Sunday. And so that she called this week and asked Grandpa to baptize her today. So this will be a shorter sermon today and a longer baptism. because it takes me a while to get up the stairs and get dressed and changed and so forth. But, you know, I got thinking about that this week, that Clara is going to have a promise today.
Yes.
She's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. She's going to be a different person. She's going to be a new creature. She's going to have the Spirit of God in her that's going to lead her and teach her and guide her, show her all things that were and things that are and things that will be, and comfort her. Teach her how to pray, reveal His word to her, convict her when she's wrong, encourage her when she needs it. What a gift. Why wouldn't anybody want it? And He gave us a formula: repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And we're going to do that today. And then we're going to take God at His word. And some people don't like the emotional part of it, but I do. And I say, if you really have an idea of what's happening, you can't help but have some kind of emotion with it.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I haven't had anybody mention to me about attending the youth camp at Prescott at the end of this month. So we're getting close to it. If you're going to go, you need to let us know so we can help you make some arrangements about it. We mentioned about Brother Paul Noriega being in the hospital. Olivia, is it true that he's on dialysis? All right. How long has he been there? Since Monday. Do they talk about letting him out? I didn't know he had the dialysis problem. So, can he receive visitors?
Yes, but you have to wear a gown and gloves.
Where is he?
St. Joseph 316.
315. Thank you, Johnny. That's St. Joseph's Hospital. But he's in quarantine, like, so you have to wear a gown and a mask and gloves. Okay. We have received the DVDs that we ordered about the How Great Is Our God. I can't even remember the man's name now. But we have those for you to borrow and use and see again or show your friends, because I think they're going to be a wonderful witnessing tool. I think we got a half a dozen of them in for you to borrow and to show and to use for that purpose. Brother John Martin, there's going to be a memorial service for him. Is it 29th, Johnny?
22nd.
The 22nd. And, of course, I want to go, and they want me to come. But Johnny and I have had the idea that I'm going to make a DVD of it, of a memorial tribute to Brother John here. In case I'm not able to make it, then Johnny can take the DVD. So in a one of the future services, I'll do that. Tonight, Brother Aaron is going to be ministering for us. But sometime in the near future, I will I'll speak it in memory of Brother John Martin. I read in my Bible where it says, pray without ceasing. And if I understand the word ceasing, that means that there should be a prayer on our hearts and lips all the time.
Amen.
I hear Brother Branham say that you can do everything too much. You can sing, you can preach, but you cannot pray too much. I hear Brother Branham say, and I think most people agree with it, even if they don't follow Brother Branham's message, that the way to draw closer to God is read your Bible and pray. Brother John McFadden, when he was here last week, he told an incident where his brother Gerald made a comment to him one time about, you need to read the book or the sermon of Martin Luther, How to Pray. And it was a letter that Martin Luther had written to his barber back in 1535, I think it was, because his barber had asked him, how do you pray? And Martin Luther wrote this letter, and it's been published into a book, and somewhere or another, Brother Jeremiah McFadden read it, and he recommended it to his brother John, and John said he went to a library up in Philadelphia, and he searched through the library and walked around and so forth where all the books were and everything else, and just before they closed, he stopped, and there's a big book of Martin Luther's sermons, and he pulls it out, and that sermon's in there. So he gave us some excerpts from it. Well, Brother Dale Knight, being what he is on the computer, he put it in a computer, and he Googled it. In about 5 minutes, he had the book printed out for us. And he, in the meantime, has given all of us pastors here a copy of it. And I have read it twice this week, and I want you to know that it has it's impressed me with something that I think that I, as a pastor, would like to lead my church into knowing. You know, prayer is not easy. People talk about, you know, we need to have an all-night prayer meeting or pray for an hour, or could you not tarry an hour? Even Jesus said that. But I think it's because we don't know how to pray. Jesus says a lot about prayer. If you read in the Bible, there were men who prayed. There are none of them long prayers, because you can read all of them in a few minutes. But Jesus even taught his disciples how to pray. Amen. But there were men in the Bible that were men of God. And if it was a requirement of God for them to pray, they knew how to pray. Yes. And I think if we're going to have any example of how to pray, we should be able to find it, as Brother Branham said, in the Bible. I believe that Brother Branham was a man close to God, and I'd like to know how Brother Branham prayed. You know, you can hear Brother Branham pray it on tape, in his sermons, before and after and during, when he prays for people. And his prayers are not like most of our prayers. And I want you to become aware of your own praying. And I'll use the grace we say at the table as example. It's almost a memorized 60-second talk. We have certain words and phrases we say, and I wonder if it hasn't become vain repetition to us. And this is what Jesus warns us about. Do not pray as the Pharisees pray, who use many vain repetitions. But when I've looked at the scriptures this week, I found David, a man after God's own heart. I find that he gives us certain instructions about praying. And I find it to be contrary to what most of us Pentecostal, full gospel message people would believe, because it would be like I said, we're saying a memorized prayer. But what is prayer? It's us talking to the Lord. But if we would stop and record it and listen to it, I think we would almost sound insulting to God. One thing that I noticed that Martin Luther said in these instructions to his barber, he said that in the years that he was a papal father in the Catholic Church, that he prayed prayers, and he heard people pray prayers, and he said he'd heard people pray things like this while they're praying. Farmer, did you unhitch the horses? Maid, go milk the cow. Now, you may say, that's foolish. But I want you to know sometime that when we're praying, we'll stop right in the middle of the prayer and we'll say something foolish. I've heard preachers do this. They're up and they're praying, and they leave the prayer and they start preaching or telling something they want people to hear, or giving the background or something. And we're supposed to be talking to God. One very classic example that comes to my mind each time I think of this subject was at Sister Betty Marconda's house one day. Thanksgiving, I think, with Harold and Betty, and I don't know if Roger was there or not, but his grandma and grandpa were there. And Grandpa Marconda was in the living room listening to a tape of Brother Branham's, and we were all in the dining room and in the kitchen and so forth, and just talking and having fellowship, but Grandpa Marconda was listening to Brother Branham preach. And we all heard his voice in the background. But Brother Branham began to pray. And when he did, Grandpa Marconda stepped up in the doorway and said, "Listen, people, he's praying. He's talking to God." And you know, ever since then, when I hear somebody pray, that's not the time to get up and walk out. That's not the time to slip out the door or come down the aisle or do something at the house. When you're talking to God, I think it'd be very irreverent to get up and walk out. I think of the Jewish people in Israel. If you've ever been to the Western Wall, they pray. They pray not by the hour, but by the day. And they'll stand there and they've got their prayer book. And I have one of their prayer books in English, and I've read their prayers. And I'll have to say, I enjoy reading them. I've looked at them many times and said, I wish that my conversation when I'm talking to God was saying some of the things they're saying about how great he is and his commandments and his law. But they have a custom that they stand in front of the Western Wall and they do this. And I wondered the first time I went over there, what are they doing like this? Well, they have a belief it would be very insulting to God and blaspheming to doze off or go to sleep. So they do this to stay awake. Because if they're standing there praying and reading and you wouldn't even do that in my face, I don't think. But what if you're talking to God and you have no more interest in it than to yawn right in his face, or to forget whether you're in the middle of your prayer, the end of your prayer, the beginning of your prayer, or forget your subject and you change the subject and you start talking about something else? And I'll tell you what, I just have a little difficulty myself. And I'm not criticizing anybody, but I think if you were talking to me and you said, "Father God, Father God, Father God," every third word, "Father God, Father God, Almighty God, Heavenly Father," hey, how many times are you going to say that? What you're saying is that expression, and look, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but it's time for us just to learn how to pray.
Amen.
Calling him by name as a filler in words because you don't have anything to say to him is not acceptable.
Right.
So what are we to do? Is praying, we get down on our knees, or we stand and we raise our hands, and we tell God all of our troubles? He already knows. Do we remind him of his promises? He loves to be reminded of his promises. But he likes more to hear us with our own mouth confess that we believe his promises. That's enough introduction from me. Let's just go and look at the Bible and see what they're. Let's look at the psalmist David. In Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2, he wraps it up in two verses of Scripture. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." If you don't do that, that's wonderful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. David said it was a delight. It was pleasing to God to meditate in the law of God day and night. So Martin Luther suggested to his barber that he pray the Ten Commandments, or that he pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, we Pentecostal full gospel people look at that and says, well, that would just be repetition. That would be just saying something about it. But there's a reason why those commandments are there. I started this off this morning by saying, I am the Lord your God. Do you know what it would mean to us if we were to make that confession every time we prayed?
Amen.
God, we thank you for being our God. We know that there is no other God.
Amen.
You may say, well, he knows that. Well, then he knows everything, so don't say anything. What is the purpose then for us expressing it verbally to him? Why did he give human beings the ability to communicate? I tell you what it's used for most of the time is to talk about each other. But God has given us the ability to communicate so that we could express ourselves to him.
Yes.
Now, I believe that we are created as human beings. This body is a worshiping machine. Everything, every action, every move is an act of worship. Clap your hands, raise your hands, bow your head, bend your knee, lay flat on the floor. Either direction, side, front, ways, back. Look up to heaven, look down. Everything you do is an act of worship. Now, we'd use it for everything else. But what is worship? It's adoring, magnifying, uplifting, confessing to God that he is our God. As I said, he loves to be reminded, not to say, hey, you forgot this, but that when we said, then he knows that we remembered. And then he can do it for us.
Amen.
Brother Aaron said today, have the faith of God, but what does it do to have it if you're not going to use it? It's like the pardon. It's not a pardon until you'll accept it.
Amen.
It is in praying that we worship. Many people, though, Jesus even said to them, and I think it's Luke 6 and Mark 9, Matthew 9, that they like to pray like the hypocrites. They love to pray in the public. They love to be heard for their many words. But where God really admires the prayer is when you go into the closet. I've always admired anybody that is an intercessor, that they love God enough that they will become shut in with God. I thought of that song. I woke up singing it this morning. Janice played it on the piano. Billy led it in song a while ago. But how many of you realize that's something that God has given us the privilege to do, is to be shut in with God? In a secret place.
Amen.
You long for that?
Amen.
Now, you'd say, well, what do I say when I get there? Why not just learn how to pray the Ten Commandments? Now, right now, I venture to say that 90% of you couldn't say it all. If I were to ask you, is that a commandment? You'd say, yes. But Martin Luther said like this, he said that when he prayed one of the commandments or one of the pledges of the Lord's Prayer, first of all, he prayed it as an instruction. It's something that God had instructed us to do. Thou shalt not, or thou shall, or honor. It's an instruction that we're to do. And we should thank God that we know what pleases God.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with us when we pray, like, hallowed be thy name. He told us that his name was holy.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with us telling him, expounding on him, how we think his name is holy and what his name is.
Yes.
Rather than saying, Lord, we thank you for Brother Green, our pastor. We thank you for a church. Even we thank you for a prophet. But Lord, we thank you that we know your holy name. A name above every other name. And how long could you pray those things? And if you confess those things, they'll have a meaning to you. I thank you for your blood. I know that it has redeemed me. It cleanses me from all my sins. Those things don't... Now you say, well, why spend time on that? Because he said that he meditated on it day and night. You cannot pray too much about it. Now, what's the second thing that he said that he did? He said he took it as a thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God that he said he'd be our God.
Amen.
I am the Lord your God. You'll have no other. You don't need any other.
Amen.
He supplies all of our needs. Blessed be the name of the Lord. After the instruction, thanksgiving, then comes the confession. Lord, we know your word is true. We know your name is holy. We know your promises are true. We know that faith that you have given us will move mountains, will heal us of all of our diseases. And then we can actually make a prayer out of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't pray to inform God.
Amen.
To tell him this person's sick or that one's sick or we have this need. He knows that. We can remind him of his promises. But take them as instructions. So many people don't like the commandments because they think they're there are restrictions of do's and don'ts. They don't like to be told what they can and can't do. Well, look at it different. If you love him the way he loves you, then you want to please him. And his commandments tell you what he wants. Then if you really love him, then do his commandments.
Amen.
He says that very plainly. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And when we fail to keep them, in our prayers, we need to say, God, I'm sorry, I failed you. But I know that you're merciful.
Yes. Amen.
I know that you're full of grace and truth.
Yes.
Lord, I appreciate the instructions you have given me.
Yes,
let me be like David. Meditate upon your law day and night.
Right.
And folks, if you don't believe David did that, then the longest chapter in your Bible is Psalms 119. I challenge you this afternoon for you to read it. Just read the first 100 verses and see how many times in there he says, I delight in the law of the Lord.
Right. Yes.
It keeps me. It guides me. I delight in the law of the Lord. How many times do you have to tell God that before you really mean it?
Yes.
I just ask you right now. Close your eyes. Nobody's looking. I'm not going to make you do anything. But you just tell yourself, do you delight in the law of God? Answer that yes or no in your own life. If you don't, you need to pray through. Well, how can you delight in them if you don't even know what they are? Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Here's another man that we'd say was a man of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I haven't seen any vacation time in here yet. Or any time when you said, well, let's do something else. Let's not think about the law of God. Day and night.
Amen.
This seems to be a common term that these men had. In our prayers, in our meditation, in our thoughts. The law of God, day and night. You may say, well, I just can't do that. I tell you what, if you want to be closer to God, you'll learn how to do it.
Yes.
Don't say you want to be closer to God and you're not willing to meditate on His law.
Amen.
Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. That's the Bible. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15, 16, and 17. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, that's what prayer should do for you. How long has it been since you've prayed and there was a joy that came to you?
Amen.
Martin Luther twice in this letter to this man, he says, now, if while you're praying like this, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over and inspires you, you forget this scheme that I have given you to pray, and you let the Holy Spirit make intercession for you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Brother Brown said, that's how you know you prayed through, is everybody looks good to you.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit comes in and the words just come out, and we call it an anointing. But really, I just say it's a release where we step out of the carnality and we realize that we're following the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And it just begins to praise the Lord and to worship. Nobody's ever experienced that?
Amen.
Me reminding you, should have said, amen, Brother Green. Let the joy of the Lord come. Let me admire it when I know the law of God. It says that I'm to honor my mother and father. I'm to remember the Sabbath day. I'm not to kill or steal or commit adultery. I'm not to envy or covet. God, you've set me free. You've let me know these things are not pleasing to you. And Lord, forgive me wherein I have failed you. I don't want to blaspheme you, Lord. I want to worship you. I want to praise you.
Amen.
And remember, there's prayer, there's worship, and there's praise. And which way you do it? You do it with your mouth. Now, we've got to where dancing and clapping seems to be the most modern way. It's almost like Satan has come along and said, don't open your mouth. Remember, the tongue is an unruly member. And the person that can control it is the same as a perfect person. But if we could learn to bring this tongue under subjection and make it state the law of God day and night,
right.
There'll be a change in your spiritual atmosphere.
Yes.
Now, you're not going to go into your closet at home and shut the door the first time you try this, but you're going to need to take your Bible. You're going to need to find the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer. You're going to need to kneel down or have a light on or someplace where you can just start reading it if you have to. And then let the Spirit of God bring to your mind, like when He said, I am the Lord your God, you just stop and think. He pledged to do that.
Yes.
He's never failed me yet. He's always been my God.
Yes.
And say that out loud to Him. I think that there will be a sweep that'll come over your soul. I think the Holy Spirit will be quickened inside of you.
Amen.
I'm looking at people right now that I know are people who know how to pray. And I think that they learned this lesson many years ago, the reason they can be an intercessor today. In fact, that is such a part of their life that if they don't have that time every day, they miss it.
Yes.
Oh God, let prayer become such a craving.
Yes, Lord.
Until, like the morning caffeine,
amen.
That they can't get along without it.
Amen.
Or the Pepsi, the Coca-Cola. May it become stronger than marijuana. Or nicotine. Or alcohol. God, let our soul thirst after thee. Put within us that it becomes habitual. It's such a part of our character. Call upon him. He's promised to hear. He is more than able to do whatever we have need of. Lord, my soul longs after you. Long for you, Lord. I know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But Lord, you have given us your spirit within us. And you desire for us to have that spirit more than we desire to have it. And yet we've become so self-conscious in our flesh that we're afraid for somebody else to hear what we've got to say to you.
Come on,
Lord, open our mouths.
Yes. Amen.
Plug up the negative ears we've got. Let us not sit in the seat of the scornful or the unrighteous or the ungodly.
Amen.
But let us speak out to you, Lord. You are my God.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, you've never failed me. Let your law become my delight.
Yes.
Let it become so desirous of me that I'll skip a meal.
Amen.
And my soul will be in charge instead of my stomach. That's called fasting.
Amen.
Most people fast because it's a way of dieting. But folks, the truth is we need to separate ourselves from the things of the world until we have times to meditate upon the law of God.
Amen.
Day and night. Lord, may it keep us awake at night. When Sister Rachel was down here the other night with a burden that she had on her heart for the people that she know that's suffering from mental stress and discouragement. That was genuine. A person can't just make themselves do that and say, well, I'm going to have this burden. That's something that God had put on that lady's heart.
Yes.
May God come and stir us all.
Amen.
It will happen to us if we will meditate upon his law day and night. Let's look at the prayers of Jesus. There's many prayers he prayed. One of them he prayed for you and I, John 17. If you ever feel down in the dumps and everything, just get your Bible out and pray John 17. Because Jesus prayed that for you.
Yes.
Lord, keep them. I'll be with them. And you just take and you just pray that. Say it out loud.
Yes.
Put yourself in there. I believe that he prayed that. And I think that prayer is keeping us today. But let's look at Luke chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I must have wrote the wrong scripture down or something, because that's not the word. Let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Now, I don't know, but I've just become this way since I'm trying to figure out and trying to recall what Jesus did these 40 days after he raised from the dead. When I read this week, I wondered, what was he praying? I believe he was praying for his disciples, because he told them, Peter, I've prayed for you.
Yes.
That when the Lord comes, that when Satan comes, you'll be sifted. How many would like to have had Jesus pray for you? That as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And here's something. As John also taught his disciples. Well, I learned a doctrine. It's okay for the pastor to teach you how to pray.
Sure. Amen.
I was wondering, some people are going to resent this. But I found today that the disciples had a desire for Jesus to teach them. And then they said, as John taught his.
Right.
Well, we're going to learn something here.
Right.
And I'm going to say it in a way to hurt your feelings so you know it. But I think anything will be an improvement over what we got. I don't think God is pleased with our prayer lives.
Yes.
I'm not. And to be truthful, I don't think you are. How many of you right now will say out loud, I need to pray more.
Amen.
Now, I want to pray more.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to pray more by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm going to learn to meditate upon his law day and night. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Folks, if we will do that, I can guarantee you the blessings of God in your life.
Yes. Amen.
Because he said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Brother Bram said, that's the way you draw closer to God. And if you draw nigh to him and he draws nigh to you, and that's the way to draw closer, why can't it work? Now, before I forget it, one recommendation that I think almost anybody I've ever heard talk about this uses, and Martin Luther does in this letter, he says you need to do it first thing every day. Because if you don't, something comes up. Something gets in the way.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the people that I've been privileged to know that I feel like are close to God, and Brother Donnie Wirtz is one of them. And I can say that because what Brother Bram said about him and quickening power. And I traveled, Brother Donnie, and I remember, regardless of where we were, when Donnie got up, that's the first thing he did every morning. Now, it wasn't a form with him. He didn't have a formal to pray anything, but there was a few scriptures in his Bible, and whether he was in the bathroom alone or sitting in a chair by his own, or in the same room with me, I could hear him breathing something to the Lord. And I had nothing but admiration for it.
Yes.
Let me challenge you. It'll work.
Yes.
Because it's a Bible proven pattern. And then Martin Luther suggested that it be the last thing you do every night. Talking about that being the last thing, something comes to mind. I read in the paper day before yesterday that this past week, we had 69 billionaires in town. Anybody else read that? Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and 67 other billionaires and their families, they came to town. They were here in the Miraval Resort. And they're the people who they've pledged to each other and to the world that they're going to give their wealth away. And What made an impression on me was is that Mr. Warren Buffett, he said to the whole group, He said, I want the last check that I ever write to bounce. And he's third or fourth wealthiest man in the world. But he has pledged to give everything away. Why, you know, you can't take any of it with you. And I have to say that I think he and Bill Gates and others are, you know, they're sincere with this. They're helping education or medicine or what they're doing and all. And you know what that tells me? Money don't satisfy. Some of them were talking about how lonely it is to be in the position they're in, to be philanthropists. And everybody's, the ones that are around you, they're wanting something. And you have to learn to isolate yourself and be alone.
Yes.
But Warren Buffett, out of the 69 of them, he said there was over 40 of them he didn't even know, he never met. So he felt good. He made 40 new friends. How do you like that? Somebody that didn't have to borrow money from you. I thought to myself, once again, Tucson, Arizona has done something that never has happened anywhere else in the world. 69 multi-billionaires together for 4 days. Talking about what's the best way to give our money away? Who can we help? What's the best projects we can do? They're not interested in a failing business or anything like that. And they didn't have any outside speakers. They did it all themselves, among themselves. But my thought was, as it was, he said the last thing he wanted to do was his check to bounce. I thought, my, I know a lot of people, that's the first thing they did. But I can't think of anything better to recommend for you to do in the morning than the first thing to do is to talk to him.
Amen.
And start out meditating on his law. And if you read those scriptures in Psalms 119, you'll find out that one thing it emphasizes is separating yourself from the wicked, the unrighteous, the ungodly, the blasphemer, and meditate upon his law day and night.
Amen.
But we are so busy feeding ourselves, associating with the things that are not pleasing to God, that our lives are so busy, we're not worshiping him. And that's what he built us, designed us to do.
Yes.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they've got their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Let's look at verse 6 through 13 now, the Lord's Prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him.
Amen.
And after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now I want you to know there's an all-night prayer meeting in every one of those statements. Now, if you don't know it, then you need to meditate on that statement, our Father which art in heaven. You need to let the Spirit of God and the Scriptures teach you what you're saying when you say that our Father, first of all, He's the beginning of everything.
Yes.
He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Without Him, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Where is He? In heaven. Where is heaven? What is heaven? Meditate on that day and night until it's not just our Father which art in heaven. What is it saying? What effect does it have on you? Oh, that's the reason you hired a preacher. So you wouldn't have to think about it, so we could tell you. Well, that don't do you any good until you know it.
Amen.
Until it has an effect in your life, in your heart, in your character. Hallowed be thy name. How do you keep His name holy? How many ways do we violate that? There's so much cursing, slang. And have you ever noticed that other religions, people don't use the name of their God like that? Other unbelievers don't use that name. There's some reason why they use the name of Jesus Christ this way. You know why? Because there's a spirit about it.
Yes.
That Satan knows that if he can get a person to use the name of Jesus Christ in vain, he's got his hook in you.
Yes, sir.
He's got you headed in the wrong direction.
Right.
Like a horse with his bits. You got this, well, yeah, you got that. Now this is next step right here. And some people get to where it's part of their character, part of their habit to use God's name in vain. They can't talk without it.
Yes.
Have you ever met anybody like that?
Amen.
I have.
Yes.
They can't talk without using the name of the Lord in vain. Most of the time, if I'm able, I'm telling them, look, my ears are just not attuned to that. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. In fact, He's my boss. And my boss don't like if you talk like that. That's usually the way I started off with business people. And they said, who's your boss? And I said, well, you just used his name. Oh. Not even aware they did it.
Yeah.
Next time they see me, I remind them again. After about the third time, you can't do that in front of Perry. But they do it in front of everybody else. Thy kingdom come. Oh my. What can we think of there? Thy kingdom come. Lord, as I meditate on that, that's exactly what I want.
Yes. Amen.
I want to see the kingdom of God. The people of God. Thy will be done. Yes, yes. And as I say, folks, there's an all-night prayer meeting in every one of them. And you know what? Don't you just dislike a conversation where you're talking with somebody and they're just rattling off, rattle, 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 and you can't get a word in edgeways?
Yes.
Some people think that's the way you pray. There's God, and here you are, and just, and you can't even remember what you said. What's the matter with meditating and pausing, and as you think of it, say it.
Yes.
And then see what the Spirit says, and then say it. Learn how to have a conversation and talk with God.
Amen.
As John taught his disciples, as Jesus taught his disciples, I want to teach Tucson Tabernacle how to pray. Folks, I say this, but it's very difficult for us to even pray in public. I see Rachel sitting over here, and she's from Germany. And they practiced over there in Germany when they go. They pray during the service, and they'll have people pray, and there'll be people standing and pray out loud, men and women. And you can tell they pray because they know how to talk to God. It's not just the same thing over and over and over, like we say at the breakfast table or lunch table. They pray. They call on God. They talk about His law. In America, in this message, we've lost that.
Yes.
When we pray for the prayer request, the person up here prays. The others don't do that. About the only praise we get is, let's give the Lord a praise offering. I'm embarrassed every time we do that. I say, God, I got a bunch of mutes that I pastor. Why is that? Is that our fault, my fault? I don't find that to be scriptural.
Amen.
I think it's time that we learn to pray.
Yes.
Amen. And you don't practice in church, you practice in private.
Amen.
In your closet.
Yes.
Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to just read on over these. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I've given you enough prayers to pray for several weeks. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Ten Commandments. Learn the law of God. Meditate upon them in your heart day and night. Now, Clara Coffey wants to be baptized this morning, and I'm going to baptize her. Billy, would you come and lead them in worship if they all don't get up and walk out on you? Blessed be the name of the Lord today.
Amen.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Amen. God be merciful to us today. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be that name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be that name. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be that name of the Lord. And Jesus is the name, oh Jesus is the name, yes Jesus is the name of the Lord. Oh Jesus is the name, oh Jesus is the name, oh Jesus is the name of the Lord. Blessed, yes blessed be that name, oh blessed be the name, blessed be that name of the Lord. Yes, there is healing in the name. There is healing in the name. There is healing of the Lord, of the Lord. Oh, there's healing in that name. Oh, there's healing in that name. There is healing in that name of the Lord. Oh, come on and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, blessed, wonderful name of Jesus. Yes. There is no other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. There is no other name. Come on, let's bless Him. Oh, I love that name of Jesus. Oh, yes, I love that wonderful name of my Jesus. Oh, yes, I love that wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name I know. Yes, there's deliverance in that name of Jesus. Oh, there's deliverance in the name of my Jesus. There's deliverance in that name. Let's just bless the Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Let's give that name to God. Worship you, Lord. We just open our mouths and bless the Lord this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today. Thank you, Lord. When you bring a word our way, we praise you, Lord. Correction our way, Lord, is to bring us closer. Blessed be thy name, O God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. Amen. Let's sing our baptism song this morning. Not as a ritual, but I am bound for the promised land. Could you sing it? Really mean it as they're almost ready, I believe. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye towards Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. O'er all those wide extended plains, their God turn all day, their God the sun. Let's stand up and sing it to the Lord. Stand with me. Oh, I am bound for the promise. I'm going. I am bound for the promise. Yeah. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promise. Breath can reach that promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, Ruth will come and go with me. I am bound for the promised land. Yes, I am bound. The promised land. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, you will come and go with me. I am bound for the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I know that Chris and Lori are pleased today, but so am I.
Amen.
I'm blessed in a lot of ways. Have these beautiful young girls call me Grandpa. Thank the Lord that He's dealt with them in their heart and their life.
Amen.
They want to obey the Word of God.
Amen.
And Clara, based upon your confession, honey, the things that you've been taught, things you've heard, and now they're reality in your heart. Where Peter said, repent and be baptized, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. I believe that word's true in your life today, and so may God fill you with His Spirit today as I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold my hand now, my arms. Praise the Lord. I don't feel all right after I got up here. Anybody else? Last time I tried that, we had 158 come. So, God bless you folks. Brother Billy,
yes, sir.
Dismiss them. And Brother Aaron's going to preach for us tonight at 5 o'clock. And would you find a place today, a closet, and just try what I suggested this morning? It'll pay great dividends for you personally and for us in our church. Let the kingdom of God come and dwell in our hearts. You want to?
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you so much for it.
Amen. 5 o'clock tonight, if you'll stand with me as we're dismissed, we'll sing Come and Dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. Were you encouraged this morning? I was. Praise the Lord. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Glory! Disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, fish and bread upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table all the time. The Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will, what a day! Oh, 'twill be a glory.